بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين صلوات. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Brothers and sisters, continuing on the subject of istighfar, Allah says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahu yuhibbul muhsinin wal ladhina idha fa'alu fahishatan wa aw dhalamu anfusahum dhakarullaha fastaghfiru lidhunubihim wa man yaghfiru dhunuba illa Allah wa lam yusirru ala ma fa'alu wa hum ya'lamun. And Allah loves the virtuous and those who, when they commit an indecent act or wrong themselves, remember Allah and seek forgiveness of their sins. And who forgives sins except Allah? And who do not persist in what they have committed while they know? Today I'd like to approach the topic of istighfar on another level, and this is on the level of the community. On the level of the community. Remember yesterday we talked about the reciprocity between the individual and Allah, in the sense that being, to get Allah's mercy, one needs to also be merciful. And just to mention a couple of hadith that I didn't mentioned yesterday, I think they're very important hadith because they might seem extreme to us actually. Where, for example, you have a hadith by Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam, where he says, "Qala Rasulullah, اقبلوا العذر من كل متنسل محقًا كان أو مبتلًا." He says, accept apologies whether or not they are right. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَقْبَلْ الْعُذْرَ مِنْهُ فَلَا نَالَتْهُ شِفَاعَتِي. He says, and anyone who does not accept an apology from someone, I will not intercede for them. So the Imam is saying, when a Muslim comes up to you and asks for an apology, gives you an apology, to accept it, whether that you believe that apology is true or whether you believe it's false. He says, if you don't do this, then my intercession will not be of any value to you. And this is interesting and important because we accept or wait for the intercession, the shafa'ah of the imams, and many of us are not very sincere about that waiting for intercession. And so you want them to be just as indulgent with you as you should be indulgent with other people. And this goes back to a hadith by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, where he says that if one of your Muslim brothers apologizes to you and you do not accept that person's apology, أَذَرُّ صَاحِبَ مَكْسٍ. He said, Allah will establish a companion for you who will harm you. So if you do not accept the apology of someone, you will be the companion of someone who can harm you. And a good example of that are people who, when they apologize to you and you do not accept the apology, they turn around and hate you. They turn around and don't care about hurting you because you did not accept their apology. So Allah makes that person a person who could harm you. So accepting apologies is a very God-like thing to do. Okay, on to the subject of repentance on the level of community. So far, we've been talking about repentance on the level of the individual. I do a sin and I seek refuge in Allah against that sin. I ask Allah for forgiveness for that sin. But there is also the idea or the reality of community punishment, the punishment of entire communities for the evil deeds that they have done. And we see many, many examples in the Holy Quran of the people of Noah, the people of Lot, the people of Ad and Thamud, all of them being communities that had been punished for the reason being that they did not accept their prophets. They bothered them, they disturbed them, they made a mockery of them, you know, and they did not accept their message. And because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them for their deeds. Allah says in the Holy Quran, فَلَوْلَا كَانَتْ قَرْيَةٌ آمَنَتْ فَنَفْعَهَا إِيمَانًا إِلَّا قَوْمَ يُونُسَ لَمَّا آمَنُوا كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُمْ عَذَابَ الْخَزِي فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَمَتَّعْنَاهُمْ إِلَى حِينٍ. Allah talking about the community of Jonah. He says, why has there not been any town that might believe so that its belief might benefit it except the people of Jonah? When they believed, we removed from them the punishment of disgrace in the life of this world and we provided for them for a while. Now the story of Jonah is, I think, very relevant here because it gives us the example of community repentance. And it is also quite significant because it took place in a place called Nineveh, which is where modern Mosul is right now, the same Mosul that is now occupied by the ISIS or the ISIL takfiris. And recently, they just blew up the shrine of Hazrat Yunus in that particular town, these savages. Now, the people of Yunus or Jonah were idol worshippers. And Hazrat Yunus came to them to call them to Islam, but they rejected him. And he warned them if they continued to refuse and keep on with their foolishness, Allah would send down a punishment on them. Now, when we talk about the people being idol worshippers, it is not just simply worshiping idols. It comes along with abominations. It comes along with sinful deeds. It comes along with being occupied with the dunya. It comes along with all kinds of negative human qualities. So Hazrat Yunus is calling upon these people to repent, calling upon these people to believe in the one God and follow the teachings of Islam. And these people are repenting, are refusing. And when he tells them, well, if you don't repent, then he said in about 3 days, some of the hadith have different accounts, some say a couple of months, he says, this punishment will come down upon you. But the people's response was defiant. They said, well, bring it on. You know, let's see what the punishment is going to do to us. They did not believe that any punishment from God will affect them. So Yunus got upset and he left them one night. Now, there were two people, some of the hadith say, who were with the people and who had listened to Yunus and believed in his message. One man was a slave who was called Malika, and another man called Rubil, who was a scholar. So when Yunus left, he took Malika with him, but Rubil remained with the people. When the time for the punishment came, The people were waiting. They wanted to see this particular day, this punishment is supposed to come. And as soon as the morning dawned of that day, the punishment started to descend. It says the sky became overcast with a very black cloud of strong, dark smoke that was everywhere. And it started to fall, the soot from that smoke was starting to fall on the roofs, making the roofs of the houses black. And these people started to become terrified. And they started to look for Yunus, but they could not find him. At that point, the scholar, Rubil, who had remained with them, said to them, "Take refuge in Allah, and perhaps he will have mercy on you and remove the punishment from you." So it is said that they all went out to a high hill. Some say they went out to the desert, and they dressed in sackcloth. Sackcloth is really coarse, raggedy cloth. It's like rags. They dressed in sackcloth, and they separated the women from their children, and the human beings from the animals. And because the people were thinking, the mothers were thinking about their children on the other side, and the children were thinking about their mothers and their fathers, and the fathers were thinking about their children, they started to cry and started to long for each other. And the mothers lifted up their voices, and it mixed with that of the fathers, and all of them humbled themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying, "We believe in what Yunus brought." So Allah had mercy upon them and answered their dua and lifted the punishment from them after they humbled themselves. And Yunus, the story of Yunus, is the only story where we find a collective repentance by the people. Nations, from the Quranic point of view, have their day of judgment and would be called to their book. We know on the day of judgment that everyone has a book of their deeds, which Allah would refer to, and this book would either corroborate or prove their right to enter into paradise or prove their availability for hell. Allah says, "Watarra kulla ummatin jathia, kullu ummatin tud'a ila kitabiha al-yawma tujzawna ma kuntum ta'malun." And you will see every nation falling on its knees. Every nation will be summoned to its book. Today, you will be requited for what you used to do. And so, we naturally belong to different nations, all of us. All of us belong to a nation. And these very nations are ones that will be judged. And it is up to us whether we decide to be like Malecha or like Rubil. It is up to us to be of those people who will witness to those people of our nations and help them on the right path. Or we become victims of that nation and fall into the destiny that comes of them. It is not sufficient for us being here to simply pride ourselves as being foreigners in a strange land. Because indeed, the land which you are setting your roots, the land in which you take up the majority of your life, regardless of whether you think this land is yours or not, this is the land that you are identified with. And this is the land whose fate you will share. Indeed, when we look at Hazrat Lut and Hazrat Saleh and Hazrat Hud and Hazrat Noah, all of them are referred to in the Holy Quran as the brothers of these people. the brothers of these people. That means there is an identification between these two. And it is because of the fact that they love these people as human beings, and because of the fact that they share the same space with them, they are their neighbors, they are the friends of their kids and so forth, they want to save them from the fire. So, because of them, these people either chooses the right path or chooses the wrong path. They fall into the punishment, but the good people, the ones who are witnessing to them, these people escape the punishment. This is very important for us as Muslims here in this society, that if we want to change society, we want to change this society, we have to, first of all, want to make this society a better one. We must first have to love the people in this society. Hazrat Lut loved the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, regardless of the heinous nature of their crimes. That's why he wanted to save them. He loved them. And so it is not a criterion that they have to be a Muslim for us to love them. Indeed, as Muslims, we have a special love for each other. But the love for humanity, the love of wanting to not see somebody punished, this is something very important. And these societies have not yet made recompense. They have not yet repented for what they have done in this world. They have created in this world artificial borders. Wherever you look in the third world and see people fighting against each other, it is because of an artificial border that was arbitrarily created in Europe in order to facilitate their colonial project. And because of this, you have people who might have been at war or not compatible with each other forced to live together. Up to today, we have huge numbers of oppressed people who were once slaves, who were once massacred and eradicated, who still live on the fringes of society, who still bear the scars of the cruelty that colonialist powers have enacted upon them, and they have not yet made recompense. They have not yet repented for what they used to do. They think that all you have to say is, we are sorry for what our ancestors have done, and expect that to be enough. When right now, while we speak, thousands of American Indians are killing themselves drinking antifreeze because they can't deal with the pressures of life. The United States, over one third of the prison population are young black men who only in a prison where there are only a smaller percentage of the population. These are the fallout from this type of oppression that they have done to us in this society. So now we are here. Now we are in the, as we used to call it, the mother country. Now we are in the center of the world. We are where everything is happening. And what are we doing to change the situation? Could we change the situation? Well, I want to give you a story about the rise of Christianity in the world. Because there was a time Rome was a pagan state. And just like today, they used to oppress their Christian population. Yes, they used to put out propaganda against them. They used to frame them up. They used to feed them to the lions. Christians were oppressed religion in Rome, just like Muslims in this society are oppressed religion in this society. But because of their pristine values, because of their exemplary conduct, because they had a more rational way of belief, after a short time, after the appearance of Jesus Christ, Rome became the center of Christian civilization. Rome became the center of Christianity. And what we are right now is we are the Christians in the modern Rome. We are the Muslims who are here to make a difference. And this is why they cannot understand why so many people are being attracted to Islam. Because Islam does not compromise on its values. Islam stands up for truth and for justice. But if you are going to content yourself with just being an Iraqi in exile in London, or an Iranian being in exile in London, or if you want to content yourself with being a Pakistani who just want to go and get together in your Hosseinia, but you are pretending to be somebody else at work, then you too are a victim in this society, and you too share in the blame of this society. Give salawat to the Holy Prophet Muhammad and his family. Allah says in the Holy Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَفَّاهُمَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ ظَالِمِ أَنفُسِهِمْ قَالُوا فِي مَا كُنْتُمْ قَالُوا كُنْتُمْ مُسْتَضْعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً فَتُهَاجِرُوا فِيهَا قَالُوا فَأُولَئِكَ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Allah says, indeed, those whom the angels take away while they are wronging themselves, while they are being unjust to themselves, while they're being influenced by all the smut and all the nasty stuff that is going on outside, you know, while they're being influenced by all these weird fashions that are taking place, where your daughters are only wearing hijab from the neck up, where you're wearing trousers halfway across your waist, so it becomes embarrassing to be praying behind somebody when they go in sajda, okay? While they were wronging themselves, these angels asked these people, what state were you in? What state were you in? How were you? What are you doing here? Why are you going to hell? They reply, we were abased in the land. We were mustad'afin. We were the oppressed in the land. They say, was not Allah's earth vast enough so that you could migrate in it? The refuge of such will be hell, and it is an evil destination. So you can't blame this society for your troubles. You can't blame this society for your immorality. You can't say it's because it was BBC, and it's because of the Metro, and it's because of this, and it's because of that, that we are where we are. You have to do hijrah. And hijrah does not necessarily mean leaving here and going somewhere else, because indeed, if you want to go to Saudi Arabia, it could be even worse than here. Much worse. Because you have the corruption, and they label it with Islam. Indeed, this same virus is getting into the Eastern world. It is getting into the Eastern world. You just go to Tehran and see where hijab, what hijab has become. You just go to Tehran and see what hijab has become. And that's the best Muslim country in the world, to tell you the truth. Okay? So what do we mean by hijra? Hijra means establishing a safe space. A safe space. A safe neighborhood for your kids, and a safe neighborhood for you. And when you do this, you will represent the true nature of the Muslim community, the ideal Muslim community, where Allah said, "Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrajat lin-nas ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkar wa tu'minuna billah." This is the community that you want. You are the best community produced for mankind. You enjoin what is right, and you forbid what is wrong, and you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we do not enjoin what is right, and if we do not forbid what is wrong, and if we believe in Allah is weak, our destiny lies with the community in which we find ourselves, and our names will be in that book on that day of judgment. Give salawat to the Holy Prophet Muhammad and his family. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Khalasayin aske yek noy istighfar, yek noy tawbe ijtimaist. Varoshan ast al Quran ke khayli az jamaati ke ummatha hastan ke khodavand be anha azab dad. و در قصه حضرت یونس معلوم است که یک جمعیت با استغفار اجتماعی که همه آنها استغفار کردند و توبه کردند as Aziat, was Azob, Chored Shudan, va Bakshide Shude Budan. Va in Neshon Midahad, ke Jamiati Mitonad Taube Konan. Hame Son, da Jamiat Zendegi Mikonan. Hame Mo. Va Fakin Mikone, ke Mo enjoy Zendegi Mikonim. اما فکر میکنیم که هویت اون فلان جا و آن فلان جا داریم، هویت ایرانی داریم، هویت عراقی داریم، هویت پاکستانی داریم، اما مثلا بیش از 20 سال 30 سال تا آخر عمر ما اینجا زندگی میکنیم. پس شما اهل اینجا هستید و اگر کاری نمیکنید، اگر کار اصلاح نمیکنید، اگر امر معروف و نهی از منکر نمیکنید، شما اهل اینجا باشید و بشید و انشاءالله انشاءالله کسانی که اهل اینجا بشه سرانجام به همون جا که این جمعیت میره شما هم میرید. ما باید هجرا کنیم. معنای هجرا این نیست که فقط مثلا پا بشیم جای دیگه بریم، اگر بتونیم بله، اما فساد همه جا داره نفوذ میکنه. نه، هجرت هم میتونه بشود که در جایی که زندگی میکنیم یه جای آزاد، آزاد اسلامی، یه جای سالم درست کنیم که حفظ بچه های ما، حفظ خود روح ما کنیم. پس ما سعی کنیم که در اینجا مثل مسلمان ایدئال بشیم. یعنی بهترین جمعیت، جمعیتی کیه؟ جمعیتی است که امر معروف و نهی المنکر میکنه، جمعیتی است که ایمان به خدا داشته باشه. پس سعی کنیم که این نوع جمعیت درست کنیم و انشاءالله موفق میشویم. انشاءالله I pray that Allah gives us the social consciousness to be able to change our environment. Allah makes us immune from the propaganda campaigns to try to make us idiots in the society without having a critical ability. I pray that Allah gives us the expansion of our hearts to be able to reach out to those people in our society that are the oppressed and reach out a hand of brotherhood to them and spread Islam in this society. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.